Hi, my name is Brian Higbee, and I would like to welcome you to the City Church Podcast. It is our hope that this podcast will not only bless you, but cause the kingdom of God to grow within you and the world around you. Come on, let's listen in.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Everyone say, yes, Lord. Touch someone, say, that's always the right answer. That's always it. You say, well, what's the question? It doesn't matter. When the Lord's asking the question, the answer is always, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yeah, hey, how many remember a couple weeks ago, Alicia, I don't remember Alicia's last name, but she was here, and what is it?
McFadden.
Well, is it McFadden? Okay, I mean, I know that was her name. I didn't know if she was remarried or not, but listen, so Alicia brought her baby up for us to pray, and if you remember, her baby was in renal failure, it's a little girl, right? Yeah, and her growth was, she wasn't growing. She was only a couple months old, something like that. And so, now listen to this. So, we were at the Italian Oven, and Alicia's sister works there. Who Alicia's sister is originally the one that had Alicia come and pray, because she shared with us at the Italian Oven how her sister's baby was in trouble and was in renal failure and so on. So I said, well, listen, have Alicia bring the baby to church. We'll pray for her. So we went last week and saw April and said, you know, has there been any change? Have things gotten worse, better, what? She said that the doctors said, we don't understand. There is no renal failure. And of course, they kind of said, we don't ever know that there was renal failure. Okay. and the baby is growing, has gained several ounces in the last couple weeks. And so someone needs to stand up and just give God a shout. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Someone say, we serve a miracle-working God. Now, how many of you know, for God, that's no big deal? Like, God is just actually putting into order what's out of order, right? How many remember the old pinball machines? Remember pinball machines? Does anybody like to play pinball? You like to play pinball? Yeah. Yeah, I hated pinball. Well, because I'm telling you, I never got that steel, but like that thing would always shoot in between the two flippers. I'm just telling you, I was horrible at pinball. Skill. Well, I obviously lack pinball skill. But how about like when your favorite pinball game was that nasty little hand-printed sign that was up on there with a piece of tape and it said what? Out of order. How many of you know that, like, it's not supposed to be out of order, right? I can't enjoy it if it's not out of order. How many of you know God doesn't enjoy when you are out of order? How many of you know that God does not enjoy when you're out of order? You know, agreement's important. Look, I know we want to be cognitive and all of that stuff, but listen, making agreement with something. How many of you know sometimes your mom had to grab you by the cheeks and say, now say yes. Not just, no, you need to say out loud, yeah. You will take out the garbage. No, say, why did your mom demand you do that? Because you needed to hear with your own ears the agreement with what she just said. There's something that takes place. There's a transaction that takes place when you go outside of your mind and you speak with your physical body. There's something that takes place in the physical atmosphere that is different than just taking place in your mental atmosphere. Are you with me? And that's why we encourage you to come into agreement with what's being said. Does that make sense? And so God is not pleased when you're out of order. I'm not talking about he's displeased with you. He's displeased with the fact that you're not functioning correctly, you're not working correctly. And listen, what parent is happy about that? How many parents are happy when they find out there's something physically wrong with their children? If you enjoy that, we need to pray for you. All right? Now, of course you don't enjoy that. Why? Well, why is our Heavenly Father any different? Well, he made me that way. No, he didn't. That's sin that did that. Well, are you saying that it's my sin, brother, that caused me to be born blind? No. It's sin that's on the earth. We're living in a dysfunctional world. And listen, dysfunction will take advantage of you anywhere you let it. Come on, somebody. But what God desires to do is bring his order of the kingdom of God into your life. Are you with me? Does that make sense? But listen, it's a process. Touch someone and say it's a process. Sometimes we see an instantaneous result in that process like we saw several weeks ago. Man, I am so thankful for that. I'm just so thankful for what when God chooses to move in that moment that we get to see it. It's always his desire to move. You understand that? It's always God's desire to heal. Well, think about that. You say, well, brother, I know some people that just had died with a certain... Stop building your theology based on your understanding. Why not build your theology on what God said in his word? His word says that it's his desire to heal. When? Always. It's always... Is it always a parent's desire to see their child free from sickness? Yes. Are you saying actually you're a better parent than he is?
No.
Come on, somebody. Well, then why? Why is sometimes, you know, do people live with sickness or an illness or a malady or something that is affecting them? Well, there are many reasons, many of which we do not know yet nor understand. But here's one thing that I'm saying. It should always lead us to pursue God of why this hasn't happened based on our lack of understanding and our lack of ability, not his. So anytime there's something going on that we believe God's will is different than that, it should always cause us to press into him, not move away from him. Does that make sense? And that should be our constant mode. Now, I'm grateful for what happened, but how many of you know that God is not done yet? God is all about, when we see something supernatural, literally, here's all that's taking place. God's order is superseding the disorder of the earth. His kingdom is coming. We saw his kingdom come in Elisha's daughter. We saw that, and of the increase of his kingdom, there shall be no end. Now that part of the kingdom is now on the earth. It never will leave. And listen, what that should do, that should always point to more healing that's coming. Yes. Yeah. Yes. A friend of mine once asked me for a favor. And he said, hey, will you do this for me? And I said, sure, I'll be happy to do that. And he laughed. I said, why are you laughing? You now owe me. He said, no. Listen, if I ask you for a favor and you give me a favor, that means there's more to be had. I said, okay. But see, that's the way it is with the kingdom of God. When God allows you to see a miracle, that is not to say, well, he's exhausted now and his tank's empty and now he can't do any more. It's to let you know that he has an unlimited supply of what he chooses to do and there's more available to you. So anytime we see a miracle, it shouldn't be like, oh, God, I'm jealous of the miracle they got. No, that should be the impetus that moves you to begin to expect a miracle in your life. Are you with me? Oh, I'm preaching way better than you all shouting. All right. Last week, I said at the end of the message that we would see how to deal with the spirit of the age. So I just want to back up a little bit and talk about that. But I want to explain what the spirit of the age is. The spirit of the age, or the spirit of the times, is a set of ideas, beliefs, and aims that is typical of people in a particular period of history, usually that we've seen on the earth, that is contrary to the kingdom of God. So it's a particular flavor of thinking. It's a particular set of ideals and ideas that come together to create an opposition against the operation of the kingdom of God. How many of you have felt over the last, say, 24 to 36 months, have you felt like there's been a silencing of the people of God, like you've been told, keep your mouth shut, don't share your ideas, there's another thinking that's here and you're wrong. You know what I'm talking about, right? You felt that way? You felt like you've been stifled? Well, that's called the spirit of the age. That's what it does. And the whole purpose is to keep you from functioning in the kingdom of God. And so I was talking to God about this, and I asked the Lord, I said, what do we do about this? Like, I'm tired of being stifled. I'm tired of being silenced. I'm tired of being told that the word of God is no longer valid and that there's a new thinking in the land and that anyone that doesn't abide by this thinking, you're basically evil and bad and you don't love people if you push back on a particular kind of thinking. I'm tired of it. I'm having no more of it. But I said, Lord, what do I do about it? Like, what can we do? He said, number one, he said, equip the saints for works of ministry. Equip them to do what needs to be done. It's fine if you have one voice and you begin to shout, but why not equip them so they can learn how to shout? Are you with me? And listen, shout, by shouting, I'm saying, do everything you can to shout and use your voice if you have to. Are you with me? All right, you're all starting to catch up. That's good. Okay, all right. That's good. So, but I said, Lord, what allowed this? What allowed this thing to take place? And he said, listen, what the body of Christ permitted in the last season, the enemy weaponizes in the next season. I said, wait, what do you mean, what we allowed? He said, well, when you didn't speak out against it, you permitted it. We say, well, that's not true. Well, sure it is. Are you telling me your kids don't do that to you all the time? Like, they'll do things that you really don't want them to do, but if you don't speak out against it, how many of you know, by default, you're giving permission to it? When you watch Johnny smart off to you and you don't deal with him, you're permitting that. You're saying, well, I'm not permitting. I don't want that to take place. Well, you allowed it. So, of course, you're permitting it. See, there's several kinds of permission legally. Legally speaking, there are several kinds of permission. There is an obvious or a, I got to think of the two terms. There is a I'm sorry, I apologize. I'll explain what they mean because I can't think of the terms in the moment. There is specific permission that you give when you say you can do that. Okay, that's one kind of permission. Another kind of permission is when you don't say you can't do that. That's another kind of permission. It's similar to commission and omission. That term is on the tip of my tongue. It doesn't matter. But there's several ways that you can give permission. There's a direct permission where you say, yes, you can do that, or no, you cannot do that. That's a direct statement. Yes. And then there is an indirect way that you just allow something to take place. And that's what has happened in the last season that is permitting this to occur in this season. Are you with me? And so I said, Lord, what caused us? What allowed us? Why did we not speak out against that? And the Lord explained to me, let me take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, because this is kind of the basis of spiritual warfare. Okay? Now, Paul, myself, urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Now, he's speaking as an apostle. He's speaking as one who is representing the kingdom of God to the people of Corinth. And he's giving them very specific instruction. This is instruction that we can receive as our own. I, who am meek when face to face with you, but bold toward you when absent, that's sarcasm, by the way. Because that was the accusation that others were making about Paul. So he's being a little sarcastic right there. He said, I ask that when I am present, I need not be bold with confidence, which I purpose to be courageous against some who regard us as if we walked according to the flesh. Again, he's being sarcastic there. But then he goes into the instruction. He said, for, everyone say for. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful. Divinely, or can I use another word? Eternally powerful. When I say eternally, I am not talking about length of time. I am talking about the realm outside of time. I am talking about heaven. Okay? So the weapons that we fight with, they're not of the flesh. Like, I don't fight, if I disagree with Charles about something that theologically he's saying one thing, and I disagree with him, I walk up and punch him in the nose, all right? How many of you know that that is not the correct way to do spiritual warfare? Are you with me? All right? I know you feel like that. I know some of you think throat punching is spiritual, all right? But it is not. Touch someone, say it is not. All right. So although we walk in the flesh, although we have our being, we got this earth suit that is in this world. The earth suit is for the purpose of being here, but not being from here. How many of you know you can be on the moon with an astronaut suit, right? A moon suit, a space suit, but that doesn't mean you're from the moon. We are here on the earth. We have an earth suit. We have to have this body to breathe and have voice, right? That I can't have voice without having this body. Is that right? But just because I am living here does not mean I live from here. My source, my home is different than where I am at the moment. How many of you know you do that? How many ever went to another land? You visited another land. How many have gone to Canada? Let me see your hands. How many here have Canadian citizenship? No one. But you all visited there, right? You are from a foreign land. You went to a foreign land, but your home is in America. Now, the same is true of the believer, that when you came into Christ, you came into the family of God, immediately your name is entered in the citizenship of heaven. Your home is now heaven, right? I mean, that's our ultimate destination. But we are living from there to here. We talk about this a lot because this is very important. I believe it's essential for dealing with the spirit of the age. We can't deal with a spirit by being carnal. Putting a sign in my yard, putting bumper stickers on my car is not going to deal with the spirit. Criticizing people is not going to deal with the spirit. I have to have spiritual authority to deal with a spirit. Are you with me? And I don't gain my spiritual authority from here on the earth. I gain my spiritual authority from heaven, where my Father is, where my true bloodline is. I am of the bloodline of Jesus Christ. How many are of the bloodline of Jesus? That's right. So Paul is letting the Corinthians know, look, I know you all are good at arguing, you're good at debating, but listen, that's not going to be real fruitful. Because if I can convince you with an argument, someone else can unconvince you with an argument. Are you with me? And so we have to walk in a higher level, say a higher authority. Say higher. All right, good. I don't know why we did that, but anyway. All right, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, or not of flesh, but divine or eternal, or of heaven, powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Now, how many of you know that darkness has built fortresses? It says in verse 5, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. Now, I actually like that in the New King James Version a little better. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, fortresses, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. In other words, anything that the world says that God is in opposition to, that we allow to have precedence or to change our thinking or to change our actions, we're calling that a high thing. And there are a lot of those things. We were just talking, I was talking to Caleb on the way here, and he was talking about a friend of his. And he was talking to his friend about abortion. And his friend said, well, you know, with abortion, there's a lot of gray areas in God. There's no gray areas in God. What normally happens when you believe there's a gray area in God, it means you haven't done the critical thinking, taking your position in heaven, sitting with God, and allowing God to reveal to you the truth about that particular matter. His truth. Because his truth is the only truth. How many of you know that to be true? You can have all kind of opinions all day long, but they're irrelevant when God speaks up and says what he thinks about a matter. Are you with me? Now, we have to keep in mind that he is our source of truth, but we can mess that up. We can get that wrong. So we have to be humble enough to stay in the mode as this is what I believe God is saying, but I could be wrong. You say, well, that's like double-mindedness. No, it's not double-mindedness. It's called humility. I believe what, and I stand on the truth that I believe that God is saying, and I don't waver on that until God reveals something different. And I just keep the door open enough that I don't walk in my own pride. Because pride is a killer. Does that make sense? Okay. So I said, Lord, how do we deal with the spirit of the age? All right, I understand it's a spiritual warfare. There are things that the enemy's trying to establish, strongholds, high things. That's what a lot of the spirit of the age walks in, high things. God says this, but the spirit of the age is saying this, that's contrary to what God said. And how many of you know, when we don't take the position of God, we are giving position to the other line of thinking. Okay? So we have to find God's heart on these issues. When there's a question in my mind, I have to get hold of God's heart. David said this. David said, I hide your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Do you know what God defines as sin? Not doing what he wants you to do. Isn't that what he said to Israel when they wouldn't cross over into the Jordan? They were afraid, so they hesitated, and they didn't cross the Jordan. And God said, because you hesitated, I have to take you into the desert and let you all die off till I raise up another generation that will do what I show you to do. Listen, all they did was hesitate. The next day, they changed their minds and said, oh, okay, we'll go now. Listen, God is a God of timing. And we have to be obedient to God in his timing, not in ours. Come on, somebody. You say, well, that sounds to me like God is like wants us to be mindless slaves. Let me explain something. God is trying to position you without controlling you into the freedom that he has for you to become who you're supposed to be. And if that feels like control to you, if it feels like control to my son to explain to him how there are consequences for not taking out the garbage, if that sounds like control to you, fine, call it control. But the problem is, he's going to have a day where he has his own house, and if he doesn't learn to take the garbage out, he's going to have a bunch of garbage, and he's going to have rats, and he's going to have flies, and he's going to have all kind of craziness in his house, and he won't be able to have a wife because a wife doesn't want someone who has garbage in their house. Are you with me? And so he can't get to the best version of himself unless I teach him now who he really is and how to get to that place. That's not control. That's love. It means I'm willing to tell him the hard thing now so he can have the freedom to become who God wants him to be. And that's what God wants for you. Amen. And you say, well, okay, but what if I choose not to walk that out? Well, that's your choice. You have the freedom to do that. You have the freedom to be stupid if you want to. Oh, he's the mean pastor now. So why haven't we, as the people of God, been able to deal with the spirit of the age? We know it's a spiritual warfare. Here's what the Lord showed me. Now, when I say the Lord showed me, I'm telling you, this is what the Lord showed me, and this is my best ability to communicate to you what I believe the Lord said. You have the freedom to push back against anything I say, because I am fallible. I do not hear God perfectly. I do my best to hear God the best that I can, and I pursue God with everything that's on the inside of me. But what I'm not saying is that everything I say is God. I'm saying this is what I believe God is showing me. Can I be humble enough in front of you to not seem weak and confess that to you? Is that okay? So I'm offering to you what I believe to be accurate. All of this is subject to change, and not necessarily the opinion of City Church. That was a little funny disclaimer. Never mind. It's one of those jokes that didn't work. Wah, 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 wah. Okay. All right, so why do we not have the ability to deal with the spirit of the age? And here's what the Lord showed me. Three things. Lack of pursuit. That we're not pursuing God in the things that he needs us to pursue him in. We pursue him in many, 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 many other things. But there are some things that we've left on the table that we didn't pursue him on. For example, okay, God, what's your opinion about this? The second thing is ignoring the Lord out of busyness. I just didn't have time to pray, Pastor. Just being honest, just didn't have time to pray. Well, okay, fine, you're being honest. But again, that's that stupid thing. You are much better off to take one of those busy things that you did and lay them to the side and pursue God than to fill your day full of all kind of stuff to where you can't pursue God. I remember a great man of God that accomplished much on the earth. He said this. He said, I have a very busy, busy day today, so I'll pray 4 hours instead of two. Now, that's a kingdom mentality. That's that I trust God to bring. The word of God says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. That means no gender. Ladies, you with me? The steps of a righteous believer, a son, a daughter, are ordered of the Lord. Now, if you don't get your marching orders, then where are you going to go today? Where are you going to march today that is going to get you into a mess instead of the purposes of God? You say, well, Pastor, I don't need God to tell me every day what I got to do. I know I got to go to work. What if God said to you, don't go to work? Oh, my goodness. Well, what if God did say that one day? I don't want you to go to work day. I want you to stay home and spend time with your wife. Well, Pastor, I don't have that kind of job. You don't have vacation days. Use my vacation days? Come on, somebody. Listen to me. It is far better for your steps to be ordered of the Lord, that you actually ask the Lord. Look, God wants you to go to work. Most days that you don't want to go to work, God wants you to go to work. Many days you stay home, God wanted you to go to work. Come on, somebody. But the truth is, what if God said, Don't go to work. Stay home, spend time with your spouse. What if God said, stay home and spend time in my word? What if he said that? Well, I'm out of vacation time. I don't get paid. Oh, so your job's your provider now and not God. Listen, I'm telling you, we have to think with God. Lack of pursuing, ignoring the Lord through busyness. And here's a big one. I heard the Lord, but I didn't do it. Well, Pastor, our God's a merciful, forgiving God. Yes, he is. He absolutely is. You're forgiven. Doesn't mean there's not consequences. Doesn't mean there's not a price. You may not get paid if you don't go to work. That doesn't mean God can't provide far more than that somewhere else. But that doesn't mean all of a sudden God's going to like sprinkle his heavenly pixie dust and all of a sudden you're going to get paid from work when you don't have any vacation days left. No, you may have to trust him in another way. Are you with me? See, I said to God, okay, God, but why have we not pursued? I mean, we're the people of God. We hear God. We obey God, right? Are you with me? I'm with you, okay? And why do we ignore the Lord through busyness? And why have we heard the Lord but not done what you wanted us to do? Why have we, listen, you always have to make yourself part of the problem, or said another way, take responsibility for the problem. The moment you blame someone else, you remove responsibility from you and you become powerless over that problem. My son said to me this morning, I said, why didn't you take out the trash? Well, because my brother left the trash in the trash can from last night. I said, okay. So what you're telling me is you're basing your faithfulness on doing your job correctly on someone else not being faithful and not doing that. In other words, you're not being faithful to what you committed to do because someone else wasn't faithful for what they said that they would do. In other words, you give someone else power over your life to cause you to not be faithful, because if someone else is not faithful, then you're not going to be faithful. Man, I'm telling you, I used to work at UPS and I unloaded trailers. I was what they called a trailer dog, covered with cardboard dust, sweating like a fiend in the back of these trailers, taking boxes and shoving them down a set of rollers. And you know what I saw? There was a mentality there. I called it a union welfare mentality. They're one and the same. I can make union people mad as anyone else, all right? But that mentality says, if you don't do your job, I'm not going to do my job. If I'm being treated unfair, then I'm not going to work hard. Who does that reflect on? You. And so I said to my son, I said, son, wouldn't you rather be more powerful than less powerful? Why give someone else control over your life? Why not say to that situation, look, if I got to take out their trash as well as my trash, I'm going to be faithful to my job and I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. Well, you say, well, that's not fair. Life isn't fair. You don't want fair. Fair means you go to hell. Am I wrong? It's fair. You committed sin. The wages of sin is death. It's not fair for Jesus to apply his blood to you. It's not fair that he died for you. Come on, somebody. We don't want fair. We want grace. We want mercy. Are you with me? And I said to the Lord, I said, why haven't we been able to do this? He says, it's very simple. It's because of lack of grace. That's what it says in the Word, doesn't it? It says, but God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Grace is that divine ability and desire to do the right thing. I was trying to impart to my son. Whoops, I just pointed. You didn't see that. Well, you don't. There's two of them there. You don't know which one. It could even be Kevin. That, you know, yeah. Yeah, he's his son now. So, but the truth. Did you take out the garbage, Kevin? No, never mind. I'm kidding. So listen. So God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. In other words, he gives divine ability to them who humble themselves. But here's what's interesting. Oftentimes we confuse humility with weakness. We confuse humility with being insecure, but it's nothing of the sort. As a matter of fact, humility is powerful, a powerful nature or power under the right authority. That's what humility really is. That I can take, I'm a powerful person. The one who takes out the trash and is faithful, even if the other one didn't, is powerful. and comes under a great measure of authority. And here's what's amazing. Those who are powerful and humble, they get more authority. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Grace is that divine ability, that divine desire. God himself recognizes when there is someone who takes their powerful nature and puts it under the authority of the kingdom of God, that I can be reined in under the kingdom of God, that I can be controlled by the kingdom of God. You say, well, I don't like that word control, Pastor. I'm not a robot. Really? So when you drove your car here, you didn't follow the road. You went through the fields. No, you operated your car under control of the highways because the highways were made for you to operate your car. But you controlled your car, and you didn't see that as a problem. Listen, when God gives grace, he is paving a pathway for you to become who you're supposed to be. And operating yourself on that pathway is not this weird, mindless kind of, no, it's humility. It's, I'm powerful, but I choose to be on the right road. Doesn't that make sense? Can you imagine if Janice would have came here in her SUV and said, you know what, I'm not going to use the bridge. I'm going to cross the Yauk River. I'm going to go down over the riverbank. I'm going to go down through the river. And she might have been able to do that, knowing my wife, because she would hit it about 82 miles an hour. 77 miles an hour. That might have been from last week. Is that right? 77 miles an hour in a what? In a 45. Now let's sit here for a little while. Let's sit here. Yeah. All right. If you want to understand the meaning behind that little, you can watch last week's message on YouTube. You'll be able to understand it. We don't have time to go into it now. I'm moving on now. Yeah. So humility is power under control of the right spirit and authority. Where there is no humility, there is weakness and an overfocus of self. So I said, okay, Lord, why do we not have humility? And he said this very simply, because the heart connection with me is leaking. See, when his love is flowing through me, my power is nothing compared to his. That's why I can place my power under his authority, because he's my source of power. Amen. So when my heart connection is right, and we already talked about that, then I'm able to flow in humility. If I'm able to flow in humility, then I get grace. If I get grace, then I don't ignore God, then I'm never too busy for God, then I pursue God with all of my heart. And when I do all that, then I can defeat the spirit of the age that is trying to influence me and dislodge this connection with me and dislodge the tentacles that are coming out from me, the love tentacles that are reaching out to touch others' lives. See, you're going to have a source for how you think. And it's either going to be heaven or some other competing source. The question is, what is the source? There was a study done, and I alluded to this earlier. This is a factual study, a landmark report, that U.S. teens use an average of 9 hours of media per day. Tweens use about 6 hours. Tweens are 8 to 12. Teens are from 13 up to 19. 9 hours a day. That's 3,285 hours per year. 3,200. The work year at 40 hours a week is only 2,080 hours. 3,285 hours per year. So let me ask this question. How much does the average teen in America spend with the Lord? If they do go to church, and let's say they go to church once a week and spend about 2 hours, That's 104 hours a year. Compare 104 hours to 3,285 hours. If only 10% of what you're seeing has influence on you, that's still three times as much influence that media has than what the church and the Word of God has on an individual. Think about that. Let that soak in. Do we wonder why the spirit of the age, what is the thing that we missed? What is the thing that we didn't pay attention to? I don't believe it's homosexuality. I don't believe it's transgenderism. Those, I think we missed to some extent, and we didn't form an opinion on them soon enough. But you know what I think is even far more dangerous? I believe, well, no, not just games. I'm talking Facebook. I'm talking Instagram. I'm talking the internet. I'm talking television. Now listen, none of that is bad, providing it is not your source. But if you don't have another source that's far more powerful, then this becomes a terrible problem. I think we haven't got in tune. We've missed God in the powerful effect that media has had on the thinking of our culture. Much of what we see on television right now is anti-kingdom. Much of it. What we see on the internet, much of it is anti-kingdom. Again, it doesn't. I see that stuff. It doesn't bother me. Why? Because that isn't my source. That's not the well that I'm drinking from. I don't live here. I live up here. But listen, this is really important. David said that I hide my word within myself that I might not sin against you. May I suggest that if you're not hiding the word of the Lord on the inside of you, by default, you will begin to sin against God. You cannot combat 3,285 hours of influence with just a couple hours a week. And so we have to do our due diligence as people of God. Are you with me? That's a free part right there. That's just a free piece of advice. Parents, if you're not getting your children in the Word of God daily, you are doing a disservice to your children. I don't care how old they are. You can read to them if you need to. But I'm telling you, we have to help our children to learn correctly and be influenced correctly by the right source. Does this make sense? I want to end with a story. I'll just read it to you as I wrote it, and I'll let you decide. I was again sitting in the hall of the courts of the Lord. The clerk came, but was not in task mode, but sat beside me. The clerk is the administrator, the angelic administrator in the courts of the Lord that helps administrate what goes on in the courts and who goes where and all of that, just like it is in our natural court system. And the clerk came and sat beside me, and the clerk said, I do not understand mankind. I said, what is it that you've witnessed that causes confusion? He said, I do not understand why the love of the Father is not enough. Now, this is an angelic being who is saying this. This is from that angelic being's perspective. He went on and said, his mercy and his forgiveness makes a way, but your kind does not seem interested, or even they seem blind to his love. I said, your observation is not wrong. I am sure we, as agents of the love of the Father, have done a poor job explaining that love. And he went on, and the clerk said, but you're not just explainers of his love, you are carriers of his love. His love flows through you. It's not just understood, it's felt, touched, changes, melts coldness, forgives wrongs. How could the demonic realm offer anything other than chaos, jealousy, destruction, and death? You are so loved by the Father, by Jesus, and Holy Spirit is there with you. How can so many be blind to the truth? And I said, could it be that many who are carriers of the love of the Father, their heart connection to that love leaks? And the clerk said, it's interesting how so many blame darkness for what is actually their heart issue. I said, so true. But he said, there's much hope. The earth has sons and daughters like you. And he looked at me and he said, well, what is wrong? Do you not see that as true? I said, I feel at times like I don't do enough for the Father and the kingdom. He said, but didn't you just say it was not about trying harder but fixing your heart connection? I said, I did indeed. I said, you would pay attention to what we say on the earth. And he said, we're intrigued by what happens on the earth. It is what occupies the Father's attention and therefore occupies our attention. I said, what do you wish that we as mankind would do more of? He said, my will is aligned with the Father. I have no desire but to see the Father's will done, but I do enjoy putting the arrogant and unsightly demons in their place. They're so prideful of their control of man. They at times make man act like puppets on a string and make fun of man after they do that. I said, that must be hard to see, the object of the Father's love treated like playthings by those who are the enemy of the kingdom of God. He said, it would be extremely hard except for the fact that the Father has a plan. And I said, he does indeed. Thanks for talking with me. I've enjoyed it very much. I know you're created like we are. In that, I feel a kinship. I'm also grateful for you serving the Father. The clerk did not quite know how to respond except to be a bit disheveled. Father said, after we're done talking, have you come to his chambers? I said, oh, he knew that we would talk? The clerk grinned in a surprised grin. He looked at me and said, he knows all. And then I had a conversation with the Father after that. The angelic realm is mystified. The angelic realm knows how powerless demons are. That the Son, the daughter of God, that has the right heart connection, is completely unstoppable in the face of any evil that could possibly be present, as much as darkness cannot stop any light that is lit. I think sometimes we blame demons because we don't want to do what we're supposed to do. Because we don't want to confront that thing that, or we don't want to go, or we don't want to become. There is a season that is upon us. It's beginning right now, where the Father is empowering his sons and daughters in a way that we've never seen before. So I'm closing with this. That means, Robbie, you play music right now. Way to catch them subtle hints there, buddy. Stand up with me. We're going to close. I ask this. I ask that. I ask that music begin to play. Keith's on the scene, baby. He's on it. Hey, I appreciate Robbie for stepping in and giving Keith a break. Can you give him a hand clap right now? Yeah. Yeah. There we go. Good job. Everybody say, good job. Well done, Keith. Well done, Robbie. I appreciate you who serve. Worship team, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you who serve at the camera and at the cafe. And I appreciate you who are serving right now in kids' church and in the nursery. I appreciate you who serve when you're out handing out bulletins and greeting. And I appreciate you who serve at cell meetings. And I appreciate you who serve in so many different ways, the ladies that come on Tuesdays to just take care of the finances for my staff who's here, and for those of you that intercede continually. The Father is so pleased with you. A friend of mine said, I don't know if you remember, but there was probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, we had a young lady who was our guest here, long red hair. Her name's Jenny. She came to shadow Jessica. And her pastor, Guy Contello, that's a brother and a friend of mine, I said to him, I said, why don't you send, he just was bringing his assistant on. I said, why don't you come and have her shadow one of the best assistants that the world has ever had. And oh, if you're gonna clap, come on, clap somebody. No, it's true. But I could say that about many of you. I could say that. I could say we have one of the best intercessors the world has ever had. But I won't say that. But my friend Guy said to me, he said we were actually in a Zoom meeting with a lot of the other brothers, the sons of Jack Taylor, and he was saying, hey guys, he said, I just want to say I'm just thankful. I'm thankful that I got to send my assistant Jenny to City Church, and the reason, I want you to hear this, the reason why I sent her there, because there's an atmosphere that's there that I've never felt before. And Guy has been in some gigantic churches. Like, he served as a worship pastor in a church of about 8,000. He served in a lot of different, he was actually one of the worship guys for Benny Hinn. And he said this about you. He said, I've felt an atmosphere here that was the kingdom, that was family. He said, listen, he said, I've got rocket scientists, literally, I've got rocket scientists in my church. And these folks are simple people. They're salt of the earth kind of people. But I'm telling you, there's something of the kingdom that's on the inside of them that they just affect the atmosphere. And when I was there, they affected me. And I want my assistant to be there in that kind of atmosphere to catch that and bring as much as they can back. And so I'm telling you, although we got some adjustment to do, God is so pleased with us. Please hear that. You've got to hear that. We're doing so much right. We got an A+, but we still got a little room that we need to improve, because we got to become in the next season who we're not right now, so we can do in the next season what we haven't done in this season. Are you with me? So you need to hear that, Rob. You need to hear you're becoming in the next season what you haven't been in this season. The enemy's lied to you and tell you you're not enough and you're not going to be, and he's told you all kind of garbage. And none of that is true. Here's what is true, what your father says. Listen to the right source. Hear what he says. He says he's proud of you, son. You say, well, I haven't done anything for him for a while. Jesus didn't do anything for him yet, and he said he was proud of him. Jesus, God doesn't wait until you do something to say he loves you and he's proud of you. He's proud of you before the fact. We move out of that that heart of the Father. Excuse me. We just need to end right now. Okay, all right. That couldn't have been as bad as it could have been, though. All right. Listen, so here's how we just need to finish up. Look, just finish up hearing these words. Son, daughter. Yeah, do me one other thing. Could you just reach across the aisle and grab someone's hand? Get the person's hand beside you. Just reach across, grab someone, make sure everyone is touched. Everyone. Yeah. So let me speak these words from the Father to you. Yeah. Son, daughter, I'm so proud of you. I'm so pleased that you pursued me, that you allowed me to interrupt your life, that you gave me your heart, and you took on mine. The journey's not done yet. We have more to do. And for that, you'll need to stay leaning into me. You'll need to not do more, because you're doing so much already. You just need to listen a little more. Allow me to be your source. And if you do, I'll give you the words, I'll give you the behavior, I'll give you the thinking to deal with the spirit of the age. For when I'm with you, there is a majority. When I am with you, you are limitless in your power. There's no demon that can stand when my son, when my daughter is standing with me. There is no darkness that has any power over my light. And so when I speak, it goes forth. It accomplishes everything I intend. For my word is light. Son, daughter, I love you. I've called you by name into this beautiful body of Christ. Thank you, Father. Father, bless them. Keep them. Make your face shine on them. Lift up your countenance on them now and give them your grace, your peace. Father, give us the ability to come against the spirit of the age as it mocks you and mocks your kingdom. It is not long until that thing will come down. And all the people of God said, amen. City Church, go and be blessed. I'll see you next week.
Thanks so much for listening to the City Church podcast. Listen, if you want to listen to more episodes, you can reach us at www.citychurch.us. And remember that this podcast is listener supported. And so if you would like to donate, go to the City Church website and click on I Give at City Church. And you can find an easy way to give online. Again, this is Brian Higbee. I would like to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you have an amazing and blessed week.